Holy Gospel according to Luke. Our Gospel this morning comes from Luke chapter 23. When they came to the place that is called the Skull, they crucified Jesus, and there with the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they cast lots to divide his clothing. And the people stood by, watching, but the leaders scoffed at him, saying, "He saved others, let him save himself, if he is the Messiah of God, his chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." There was also an inscription over him, "This is the King of the Jews," it read. One of the criminals who were hanged there kept deriding him and saying, "Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed have been condemned justly, for we are getting what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus replied, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise
you, may be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and His Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today, as Chris has shared with us this morning, is Christ the King Sunday. And today we enter into a story of redemption. A story of redemption, because without redemption, there is no grace, there is no salvation. The first story, his name was Ray. He was an Irishman from Canaryville in Southside Chicago. As a youth, he himself was an Irish gangster. It was his job, it was his task, and his group of friends to keep people of other races, other ethnicities, out of the neighborhood. Through violence, through different means of different ways of creatively trying to strike terror into people that would otherwise want to be a part of that community. He said as a teenager he landed himself in jail at some point because of some of the actions that he had chosen to participate in. And he said it was in that time in jail that he finally discovered where the truth was going to come from, because the only person that ever came to visit him was the pastor from the church. No family, no friends, no fellow gang members. The only person that came to visit him was the pastor of the church. During his time in there, Ray started asking questions. And little by little, bit by bit, he broke down, his humility was broken down, and he discovered that really he had no capacity to create change in his life unless he depended on one thing, and that one thing was his relationship with God. A story of redemption, yet a story of brokenness. Her name is Renee. She's a woman who I've grown to know and who will spend the rest of her life in the women's prison. A lifer, as we call her. A decision that happened 19 years ago when she was deep in the midst of her drug addiction. And in one particular evening when she was broke and drugless, she went over to where her drug dealer lived, and in hopes that he was gone and that she would break in, steal the money, steal the drugs, steal the stash, and she'd be set for the next couple months. She broke in, she found everything she needed, but she also found out that her drug dealer was home. And she made the decision of bludgeoning him with a hammer to death. A decision that will forever confine her into one single space the rest of her life. A place that she now views as her home, a place that she views as her town. It's the place where she goes grocery shopping. It's the place that she goes on vacation. It's the place that she goes to visit the only family she has. For her, the hallways of that center is her street, her neighborhood, her dining room, her hallway, her interstate system. Her entire life will be confined behind the brick walls of that building. However, she finds comfort each and every week when she goes to chapel, when she goes to church, And she's reminded by the grace of God and that she still has the ability of being called a child of God. She still has the ability to be forgiven based on the promises that have been shared with her. Again, a story that's broken, but a story of redemption. His name is Vic, a dear friend of mine, a dear friend of mine who taught me most everything I know about Harley mechanics, a man who lived most of his life, his younger adult years, riding in a motorcycle club and receiving nicknames for different things that he had done in his life. But it was also a life that as he grew up and as he became a family man, he left it all behind to try to make a difference in his life, to change his ways from the path that he was leading on. He decided to start being a mechanic, and he gives the shirt off his back each and every time. The man is broke because he doesn't ask for much. He doesn't ask for much because he feels like it's the one thing he can do by giving back to people that have given to him over the years. He's a dear friend of mine, and I still to this day have never paid him a cent for a single thing he's ever done to my motorcycle, as long as I kept his fridge stocked with Budweiser. Amen? I should have bought stock in Budweiser once upon a time. I'll never forget, though, this spring, though. He's lived a hard life already, but this spring he had a massive stroke that left half of his body paralyzed. Back in October when I was in the hills doing a wedding for a dear friend of mine, I stopped in his shop and there he was in an electric wheelchair this time. A strong man, a big man, a man that could know, that knew how to use every tool in the toolbox, that could give me the advice on anything I needed, was confined now to something that he was not used to. We were sitting in the shop and he had a cigarette in the one hand that worked for him. And he looked at me and he broke down in tears and he said, "Pastor, I need prayers. I need to believe everything that you've shared with me in this shop over the last 10 years. I need the God that you pray to." Brothers and sisters in Christ, I share those stories of people that make a difference in my life because they are people nonetheless. They are broken people. But they are godly people. They aren't perfect by any stretch of the imagination, but they are godly people. And what I love about them and what I love about their stories and the journey that they've been on, each in their own painful ways, is that they remind me the God who is our King. On this Christ the King Sunday, we begin to listen, we begin to learn that our King, the godly King that we profess our faith in, is a God of the people, a God of brokenness. Amen? He is a God that wears a broken crown for a broken people. And that's hard for us to wrap our heads around. Just as it was hard for the people of Israel to wrap their heads around. Because for Jesus to call himself king, it absolutely made no sense whatsoever. The people did want a king. But what was interesting is the king they wanted, they had King Herod, but he was despised by every single one of them. He was an atrocious person. He was a horrible person. And every time he got jealous, he had a bloodbath. He was bloodthirsty for everything. Remember, it was his father that made the decree that we talked about last week. He put a price on every newborn son's head because he was threatened by infants. Imagine living your life and ruling your piece of authority by killing infant children out of the threat that they might one day topple your kingdom. And that's a king that they've bowed down to. They also bowed down to the Roman army because in many ways they had no choice. But in comes this man who does nothing more than to talk about love, to talk about patience, to talk about loving the neighbor, walking with them and holding their hand and helping them through their trials and their tribulations. A man who smears mud on a man's eyes and gives him sight. A man who grabs a cripple by the hand and allows him to walk again. A man who gives voice to the voiceless. And these people fall in love with this man until the title king is given, and then they all scratch their heads. Because for them, a king is supposed to be someone of perfection, someone of great military might, the knight in shining armor that comes in and eradicates all evil things. And Jesus didn't make sense. Jesus was but a lowly carpenter's son, amen? Nothing good can come out of Nazareth. Even the disciple Nathanael said that at the very beginning. But we're not much different. We don't have a king in the United States of America. Instead, we've got lots of kings that we bow down to and call them something else. Last I checked, every time you turn on the news, we're waging war and bowing down to this, that, and the other. Amen? As parents, as people with influence on our kids' lives, which kings are we telling them to bow down to? A question that we need to wrestle with as parents. A question we need to wrestle with as grandparents. Each and every day we pledge allegiance to different things. But the one true king walks into our lives time and time again, not asking for much, but to place your faith in him and to know that he'll give you what you need. And to also teach you how to actually walk hand in hand with the broken neighbor next to you. The broken neighbor who's not any more broken than ourselves. What I love about this story, if you guys haven't noticed, in Luke's Gospel for Christ the King Sunday, we also read the same text that appears on Good Friday. We're at this really unique, tricky time of the church year because as Pentecost comes to an end, as Advent begins, and Dean, just to plug it, Dean, he chuckled this morning. He goes, so Pastor, if the end of the church year is here, do we got to come to church next week? I said, yes, because then we start with Matthew. It's just a new cycle. But we're at this unique time in the church year where one thing comes to an end and a new thing begins. We're at this unique time because it's Thanksgiving this week. We'll go eat the turkey, the stuffing, and all the fixings, and the pumpkin pie, and then all of a sudden we're preparing ourselves for Christmas. Amen? Christmas, in which we hear God with us, God Emmanuel, O come Emmanuel, God with us coming to us. But yet today, a month before that, we're crucifying him. And that's the nature of the story. We're crucifying him, but what I love about the story is we also identify who the very first preacher is in the gospel. The very first preacher of the cross. And if you haven't noticed it, it was not the women at the tomb. It was never the disciples, the ones who had committed the previous few years of their life walking from Galilee to Jerusalem. It was the man who was hanging on the cross next to him, a thief, a broken man, a man who himself acknowledges that he and his partner are being punished for exactly what they deserve. He is the one that tells his partner, be quiet, shut your mouth. We are the ones that are being crucified because we deserve it. This man between us deserves none of it. But yet he knows exactly who he is. And he says it in his sentence. He says, Jesus, Lord, remember me today when you enter your kingdom. Not when you die. Not remember me when you go off to some spiritual happy place. Not when you die and go off to heaven. It's Jesus, remember me when you enter into your kingdom. A title given to a king. And the king looks at him and says, today you will be with me in paradise. But no one ever seems to remember that guy, do we? The broken crown for the broken people. The man actually does have a name. If you've ever been over to the South Dakota State Penitentiary, hopefully maybe in a volunteer capacity, the name of the prison is St. Dismas. The Catholic Church did honor that man centuries later. His name was Dismas. He's the one who knew the king. As we end here today, I want to leave you with this one last image. Something that I found fascinating over the years. If you remember that when brokenness entered the world, when Adam and Eve and sin entered into the story of humanity between God and us human beings, God did give us grace from the beginning. Originally, God made a decision, and the wages of sin was what? The wages of sin is death. However, when sin entered in, when brokenness entered in, God extolled his first moment of grace, and he said, Adam and Eve, I'm going to give you another chance, but because I'm a just God, I need to ask you to leave the garden. You are going to leave the garden because you're no longer a part of that covenant. You're no longer a part of that promise. And so they leave the garden, and from that day on, everything was difficult for Adam when it came to providing for his family. Up until then, God provided everything he and Eve needed. At that point, he had to provide for himself. And he toiled in labor over the soil each and every day. And as it says in Genesis, he toiled through the thorns. He had to cut through the thorns in order to provide. The thorns as an image and a moment in which we identified that brokenness was a new reality because of decisions that were made. But on our story this morning, I don't think the Roman soldiers ever understood the irony that they were involved in. Those Roman soldiers by hand wove a crown of thorns that they placed on his head. Sin entered into the world with thorns, and sin will be eradicated in the world through those thorns placed on the king's head. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we are a broken people, but we have a man, we have a king who walks with the lowly, who talks with the lowly, who heals, provides, and forgives the lowly. Because he doesn't sit off in some kingdom, or as Chris said with the kids, up on some heavenly pedestal. He comes to the world to be with us. Thanks be to God. Amen.